Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Hey, a lot of people, tens of thousands of people, download our podcast. I think it's tens of thousands. Well, at least there is tens of thousands a month. And so if you want to get the podcast of this show or any shows we air here during the day here on AFR, what can they do, Ed?
Well, you can go to AFR.net.
Simply
go to AFR.net, and you will see a kind of drop-down menu where it says podcasts, and then it's done by show. So if you'd like to download the Today's Issues podcast, which maybe millions of people think about doing, then you can do that. Or, you know, Focal Point, Brian Fisher, Abraham Hamilton III, you can do Jan Markell's show. All the programs that are produced by AFA, actually Jan Markell's you might not be able to do, ones that are produced by AFA, by AFR, you can download at our website. If you want Jan Markell or some of these other programs, the preaching programs, I think you might have to go to their website to do that. But all the ones that are produced here, Airing the Addisons, for example, Sandy Rios in the Morning, all of those can be downloaded, the podcast, at AFR.net.
Steve Jordahl joins us, back from his vacation.
Yeah, hey there.
Where'd you go?
I went to visit the most beautiful little girl in the world.
Your daughter.
Well, she actually is one of the most beautiful women in the world, but I'm talking about my brand new granddaughter, Isla Juliet.
And
he was born in July.
You joined the ranks of grown men acting like fools,
yeah,
because they're granddaughter with a grandchild.
Well, this is my third. I've been a grandfather twice. This is the first time I'm a grandmother. So,
did I call you a grandmother?
I'm telling you, man, this grand stuff's getting out of hand,
isn't it?
Steve's self-identifying as a grandmother now. What do
you
we
know
do
what
with
I mean.
This one, Ed?
I don't know. but he went up to the great volcano where the fires burn.
Yes.
Forever.
They live in Oregon, and Eugene, to be specific, gorgeous, gorgeous place. I had forgotten. I was born in Portland and went to school there too, but I'd forgotten. It's when it doesn't rain, which it does. They say it rains twice a year in Portland, once from June to August, and once from July. It went from September to May. So, but anyway, it was a beautiful week.
But you said you did smell a little of the smoke from the California fires.
Well, there's some Oregon fires. There are still some burning in Oregon, but they're greatly diminished from their height from when they were there. Visited some family friends. I met my folks out there as well. Visited some family friends from Vancouver, Washington. Stayed with them for one night.
Wow.
Down with my daughter and her husband and family for several days. And then took a day trip or two with my folks to where my mom was born, actually, in Redmond, Oregon. And went to also Bend, Oregon. Gorgeous little communities up there that are becoming quite the tourist attractions.
Hmm. All right, what do you got, Steve?
Do you remember Kim Davis, the Kentucky clerk who decided that she, because of her Christian faith, was not going to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples?
Yes.
Yes.
She was fired, and in fact, she was jailed for a few days, and somebody brought a lawsuit against her to try to compel her to do her job or to issue licenses. Today, about an hour and a half ago, the Supreme Court decided not to hear an appeal from her to dismiss the case. She was claiming that because she was a government worker, she can't be sued for her government, for her actions on behalf of the government. It's called qualified immunity. And The court said, no, we're going to let this case go forward. But what was really amazing about this, usually when the Supreme Court decides not to take a case, they just say we're not taking it. They don't give reasons. They just say we're denying what's called certiorari or cert. In this case, Justice Thomas issued a two-page scathing rebuke of the Obergefell decision, which, as you remember, is the decision that legalized gay marriage. If I may, let me read just a couple sentences from his rebuke of that. He says, Davis may have been one of the first victims of this court's cavalier treatment of religion in its Obergefell decision, but she will not be the last. It would be one thing if recognition for same-sex marriage had been debated and adopted through the democratic process, but it is quite another when the court forces that choice upon society through creation of atextual, meaning not their, constitutional rights. The court's decision in Obergefell allows courts and governments to brand as bigot anyone who disbelieves in same-sex marriage. Since that decision was handed down, wrote Thomas, people of goodwill have been labeled bigots merely for refusing to alter their religious beliefs in the wake of prevailing orthodoxy, signaling, according to the news reports, that Thomas would like to hear a challenge to Obergefell. He thinks it was wrongly decided. He just does not think that this case that brought by against Kim Davis is the correct vehicle for it.
Well, those are strong words from Clarence Thomas, who many think may be the most conservative member of the court, remaining on the court ever since Antonin Scalia passed away. I fully agree with his arguments about Obergefell. Just like the abortion decision, the Supreme Court created a right out of thin air, thinking that would settle the issue. And of course, in the case of abortion, it has not. In the case of same-sex marriage, it may settle some things in terms of public opinion. Public opinion has been shifting in favor of same-sex marriage since the Obergefell decision. But to Justice Thomas's point, it is not going to settle the issue when it comes to religious liberty versus sexual liberty. And that is going to, the Supreme Court's going to have to correct that because they have not dealt with that issue. They've punted it. And so we're going to continue to have questions about religious liberty going forward, including with the nominee, Amy Coney Barrett, with her religious beliefs maybe being made an issue by the Democrats when they Zoom right. with her during the confirmation process.
You know, it strikes me, Tim, that we've had many gains in the pro-life area of law and culture where technology has shown us that indeed it is a living child that's in the mother's womb and that terminating it is nothing less than murder. And there's a push to in the pro-life direction in culture. At least it's a push back against abortion, pro-abortion people. There's not been that much success in the issue of gay marriage. This, I think, is one of the first public pushbacks against from a government entity against this tide that's kind of pushing Christians to the sideline.
By the way, are gays getting married?
You know, it's interesting. Every time that a state, I don't know the statistics when Obergefell was given, but every state prior to Obergefell, which had legalized gay marriage, they expected a rush to the altar. They really didn't get it. There was an increase. There's a lot who did.
It was a momentary bump.
I think it was. But in the end, no. I don't think the majority of gay couples have not opted to buy into the traditional expression of commitment.
Yeah,
that's what you'd have to do. You'd have to compare the percentage of straight couples or straight individuals who go on to get marriage and compare that with homosexuals to find out if it's anywhere near the same percentage. I don't know the answer to that question.
I just threw that out there at you guys. I didn't know the answer to that. I suspected that homosexuals were not going to get married much even after the decision because
it wasn't about that. It was about the Supreme Court saying, you're homosexual, that's just as normal, natural, and healthy as heterosexual. That's what they wanted.
Yeah, they cohabitate.
Yeah.
Mostly.
That's probably true.
So, cohabitate or go to the gay bars or whatever. They're not.
They're not monogamous like straight people, generally speaking.
Well, true, and it's well documented that the homosexual community is far more promiscuous.
Right.
And that's
especially the men.
And that's saying a lot.
Yes. That's
because
right.
Because the heterosexuals in our country are pretty promiscuous, too.
Right.
At least the ones that aren't married, according to a lot of statistics. You're listening to today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim here with Steve and Ed. Next topic, Steve.
We've been talking for a while about the possibility, and you guys even referenced it earlier in the show, that we're not going to quite know what's going to be happening on the eve of election night. We're not.
Oh, we
know
what we're going to be doing. I'm sorry, Steve. The eve of? Like,
well,
Monday night?
No, on Tuesday night. We're not going to know that night what's happened in the election. It's going to take more than a day.
Unless it's a blowout.
Unless it's a blowout. But I want you to hear what Steve Bannon, the former White House strategist, said. He was on an HBO show called The Circus. And he has a prediction about what might happen, what he thinks will happen with this election. You're going to hear a little bit of music behind this. It's because this is the way they do the show on HBO called The Circus. Anyway, this is Steve Bannon giving his prediction of what we're going to see on election night, cut 9.
They're going to try to overturn this election with uncertified votes. It's going to be crazy lawsuits on naked ballots on every different aspect of it. Those counting rooms are going to be knife fights with this scale of votes. We'll go into January, and that's when the firestorm starts.
That you think will end up being, it's still January, we don't have a president.
Yes.
And the fight then moves to Washington.
Yes.
How do you think it ends up?
Right before noon on the 20th, in a vote in the House, Trump will win the presidency.
Hey, the ominous music in the background.
That was my heartbeat.
That was, wow. But what he's saying is constitutionally, what is it exactly he's saying there?
Okay, so you may wonder how a House that is on January 19th still controlled by Democrats going to vote for President Trump. In this case, for this particular vote, it's not a one congressperson, one vote. It's one state, one vote. And the way you determine which way the vote goes is by whoever has the majority of members of Congress from that party, from that state. So in other words, Texas, we know, has far more Republican congress members than they do Democrats. Texas would get one vote and they would vote Republican. California, on the other hand, many more Democrats than Republicans. They too would get one vote and they would vote Democrat. The tally as it stands now is that there are 27 states that would vote Republican by that measure and 23 that would vote Democrat, thereby giving President Trump the victory in the House.
But how would you ever get to that point, though, would be my question.
Well, if you can't certify, if you haven't determined what the outcome of the election is by then, you can, of course, send electors to the college in December to determine who won the Electoral College. In other words, we're still counting votes. The election is still going on, and as you know, the Democrats have decided that with this
mass... You know, this is... The way you avoid this, I know everybody knows this already, is you say that your vote has to be counted by midnight November 3rd.
Right.
States have already ruled that they're going to extend that date, though.
Well,
I agree
that
that's the way to do it.
There you go. Then you're inviting chaos.
But now, my understanding is that in 8 of those cases, 8 states have lost in the federal courts. For some of these. Now, they're all different in terms of how long you're supposed to wait. 8 federal judges, or at least eight cases, have gone before federal judges, and the Democrats have lost each of those in trying to extend that deadline. But to Steve's point, if you do not have, or even if you do have clear state winners and the Electoral College winds up 269 to 269, that can happen.
Then it would go to the House.
Then it would go to the House. And to Steve's point,
that'd be
it,
great for the country, though, I think.
That's what I said. Bring my heart,
it would bring us together.
My heart beating. We do not want that to happen, because that is going to be chaotic and is going to make everybody go crazy.
Now, I didn't research this to remind myself of what happened in 2000, but 2000, Florida, of course, as we remember, ended up with the votes and the hanging chads and not being able to decide. And they short-circuited the whole going to the House because they couldn't decide in order and sent it to the Supreme Court. And I'm just kind of trying to remember what would prevent that from happening again in this case.
But in Florida's case in 2000, that was over whether or not to have another recount. Remember?
Yeah.
And then that was the case that went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, no more recounts. The recount you had is the final total, and that gave it to...
But can't you see that happening a dozen times with recounts?
And I don't know.
And absentee ballots coming in late? And
here's another thing. If it gets pushed past the date when you'd have the inauguration, all right, which I think is in the Constitution as well, then which House... makes this vote? Is it the House that we have now, or is it after the election?
I think Bannon has said that it can't go past the inauguration, because before the inauguration, it would go to the House.
Okay.
You know, fellas, I mean, I can't see how all the votes won't be counted by at least 7 to 10 days after the November the 3rd. After that, it just... Huh?
I tend to agree.
I mean,
Steve Bannon.
I know a lot of the states say you got to be, if you're gonna vote, what, absentee? Is it called absentee?
There are absentee ballots.
It's different than the mass mailing.
Right.
Yes.
There's a category.
You got to be postmarked by election day.
And some of them are different. Some of them it's, you know, a week before or something. So
yeah, a week before I can understand that, because
they want it to be in.
Yeah,
by the,
you want to be
November
in,
3rd.
So you can count it, and we know a result, so people can get on with the business at hand. Not the least of which is, if the administrations change out, you got to start that process. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about for president. So, you know, it gives people a sense of closure. We've been all Americans are in a constant state of election fatigue.
Yeah.
Huh? It's weighing on us.
Because Steve, this morning at our story meeting, was mentioning 2024, talking about Pence and Harris, and I said, please don't start talking to me about 2024. I can't even take this one, let alone
exactly.
4 years
from
now. And what's
about to happen, we know that whoever wins, Biden or Trump, then that's going to last about 48 hours, and they're going to start saying, what does this mean for the 2022 House elections? You know what I'm saying? And I'm a political junkie. I love keeping up with this stuff. I'm just saying, but I'm not normal on this, and neither are the two of you. I just think that we better hope and pray that a decision is made by the American people. Hopefully they'll make the one that I would make on November the 3rd. And I'm not going to disclose who I'm going to vote for.
Keep it a secret.
That's your personal information.
I don't talk about that kind of stuff. So, but I think that we need an answer, a resolution, so that we can
move on.
Yeah, so that we don't.
I don't want to ruin Thanksgiving.
Yeah, start yelling at each other again and burning each other's houses down. And
how am I going to enjoy ribs for Thanksgiving?
What I'm saying,
with all the fixings.
What I'm saying,
if we say winner.
We're going to have to go to November, but I really think I understand what Steve Bannon is saying there constitutionally, but I just don't think that it's going to take that long to count votes, for goodness sakes. I would say seven to ten days max.
Yeah.
After November 3rd, all the quote votes will be counted. Now, Voter fraud, the potential for voter fraud, as we mentioned here, is real, and that's going to have to require poll watchers, and you're going to have people prosecuted if they ballot harvest.
Right.
Those kinds of things. So it's absolutely, those kinds of things are going to have to be watched. Especially, I'm concerned about. That kind of thing happening in the swing states.
Right. Hey, before we go to another, let me help out our Facebook viewers.
Am I in trouble?
Nothing to do. Some of them are asking about why you and I continue to look at the chair in between us when Steve's not here. And I just wanted to help our listeners. I mean, there's all kinds of speculation, invisible presence and all kinds of stuff.
We
are actually looking at Steve's image on these little iPads. That's why we look to the side.
Look here.
Where
is the camera?
It's right there. So that's where Steve is.
Okay, this is what we got, people. That's what, right here. That's what we're dealing with.
So we look at Steve. He's waving at you right now.
We're looking at sort of a, quote, monitor, if you want to. Yeah. That's the reason our necks are bent one way or another. Is that why they're...
Yeah, a bunch of them were speculating.
We're looking at an empty chair.
Yeah, why are we looking at an empty chair when Steve's in Studio
Venus? See, perception is always not reality, people.
That's
this is a lesson to be learned right here. You know, you make a judgment, you don't even know what's going on.
I went to the Johnny Carson show back in the 80s one time, the live taping, and I was just, for some reason, so floored when Ed McMahon said, "Here's Johnny," and pointed the wrong way, away from the curtain. And
really?
Yes, it's the way they did it in on the screen. It was right, but in live, where he was standing, he pointed the wrong way. But anyway,
we love our listeners.
The magic of TV.
We try to keep up with. We can't always answer everything on Facebook, but we get some good comments.
We answer what we want to.
That's right.
That's right.
No, I'm kidding. Go ahead, Steve. You got 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes.
All right. Let's end with this. You remember a little while ago, President Trump issued an executive order which did away with all of the foolishness surrounding critical race theory and white guilt training in government companies and government agencies. He was interviewed over the weekend by Chris Wallace. This was not the debate. This was a separate interview. Chris Wallace asked President Trump why he issued that executive order. I want you to hear what he said. Cut four.
Why did you decide to do that, to end racial sensitivity training?
I ended it because it's racist. I ended it because a lot of people were complaining that they were asked to do things that were absolutely insane, that it was a radical revolution that was taking place in our military, in our schools. If you were a certain person, you had no status in life. It was sort of a reversal. And if you look at the people, we were paying people hundreds of thousands of dollars to teach very bad ideas and, frankly, very sick ideas. And really, they were teaching people to hate our country. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to allow that to happen.
That's what critical race theory does.
Right.
What the president just described there. It's unfair to make somebody answer that question in 60 seconds.
Yes. Critical race theory.
And by the way, Chris Wallace, it's not racial sensitivity training.
Right.
Huh?
That was one of Chris Wallace's worst moments in the debate.
I don't even think he knows what critical race. If he does, he
couldn't explain it in 60 seconds.
Chris Wallace?
Right.
Calls it racial sensitivity training. There is such thing as racial sensitivity training, but critical race theory is not that.
Right.
Huh? And maybe he knew it and just wanted to try to make the president look bad. Imagine that, the mainstream media. All right, Steve, thank you.
My pleasure.
Our time is up today, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate you joining us. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Take care.